I'm just receiving with you the Holy Spirit's grace. And I wanted to kind of finish up on the idea of let's go to our Hebrews 8:10. And we were talking last night about our mind and a renewed mindset. And Hebrews 8:10, Hebrews 8:10. And it says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on the table of their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, I don't know why we, okay, yeah, this, yeah, that's it, okay. It's a profound covenant where we have the Holy Spirit as our constant helper, our constant companion. And I read the scripture last week because I think it's kind of sums up the reality of the Holy Spirit at work, putting his laws in our mind. And writing them on the table of our heart. Now, obviously, that's a divine act of God, and the purpose of how he affects our mind and our heart. Okay, and he said, "I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts." So that's quite a profound covenant. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So we have a responsibility, obviously, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in our life. So I had, you know, a bunch of scriptures that... And I will do some of those scriptures, but I did something in August 22nd of 2010. How long ago was that? Maybe 15 years ago? I did a message and I titled it, "Restore Your Thought Life." So what I want to do is just read a few thoughts out of that message that I did. Now, I didn't use any scripture on the outline, but I have scripture, okay? So, I had 14 points that I put down in this teaching in 2010. They were thoughts that came to me from the Holy Spirit. So they weren't something that I got out of a book but the Holy Spirit was at work in this message, and he was giving me insights into the thought life. Say with me, thought life. Because you know, all of us have a thought life. Nobody is exempt. We want to learn how to really dominate our thought life, or something else will. So, the first point I had was receive God's grace to restore your thought life. Okay. And sometimes we need a restored thought life. It's out of control. our thinking is messed up. It's influenced not only by the world, but the devil and the powers of darkness. They're after your thought life. And point two was where your accumulated thoughts go, there your life will go. Okay. What are you thinking? Why are you thinking what you're thinking? And is what you're thinking under your control? Sometimes our thinking, you know, one of the greatest tactics of the enemy is to completely dominate our thinking and control our thinking without us really knowing that it's controlled. And that's how the world system, that's how Satan works in the world. So when we talk about accumulated thoughts and where they go, that there your life will go, I want to have my heart filled with accumulated thoughts of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, using those thoughts to dominate my thinking. Number three was organize and discipline your thought life. Does anybody thought life need to be organized and disciplined, or is it just completely out of control and undisciplined? Are you thinking, or is some other, is the world thinking for you? Is the devil thinking for you? Or are you thinking God's thoughts? Plan out very carefully your lines of accumulated thought. Because thought is going to accumulate. And when it accumulates in your mind, it's going to dominate your thinking. And it's going to go into your heart. Set your affections and bind with warm, positive emotions on them. Number four, practice discipline in your thought life, thus continually strengthening your ability to control your conscious mind. You have to control your conscious mind. The Holy Spirit will cooperate with you, but you must control your conscious mind. Or it's going to be under some other influence other than you. You cannot have a passive thought life. You have to have a spiritually active thought life on the Word of God. Okay, so point four is very, very powerful. Practice discipline in your thought life, thus continually strengthening your ability to control your conscious mind. Say discipline. You have to discipline your mind and make it think what you know it should be thinking, or you're going to give up control of it. You can't just drift through life letting any kind of thought come and go. And number five, identify destructive, non-productive, sinful thought patterns. They need to go. Okay. What are you thinking? What are you allowing to be in your mind? What are you allowing to control your mind? You know, and there's so much in the world that wants to take over. Satan wants to control your mind. And sometimes you don't even know he's controlling it. So you need to identify destructive, non-productive, sinful thought patterns. These are thought patterns that are completely out of the will of God for your life. Number six, much of these thoughts have become habitual and you don't even know it. They're habits that you formed and are strongholds that have manifest into things and joined to affections and emotions. I would call a lot of addicted thoughts. You allow addictive thoughts to develop in your mind. And you don't realize sometimes that you've thought them so many times that you are addicted to them. Now, if they're God's thoughts, I want to be addicted to God's thoughts. I want my mind to be renewed to the truth of the Word of God and the thoughts that I need to allow to dominate my mind. And thoughts that aren't productive or not of God, they need to be completely eliminated, repented of, recognized for what they are, and no longer allowed to be in our thought life. Okay, easier said than done, I guess, but remember, it's typed wrong, but the blood, okay, on number seven, say blood of Jesus. It has cleansing power. When we repent of non-productive thoughts and apply the blood and ask forgiveness, take control, take charge over those thoughts, the one wonderful thing that we have is the blood of Jesus. Say the blood cleanses. And sometimes our mind needs to be cleansed. Our thoughts need to be cleansed. They need to be repented of. You know, and the way I've started to learn, you know, to do this is when a thought comes, you're not going to be able to avoid thoughts, but you can say to those thoughts, no. When you know they're wrong, you just need to say, no, I'm not going there. That's what I do. I just say, no, I'm not going there. I resist the temptation to take that thought and think about it at all. And I have found that absolutely works. When I refuse to entertain a thought, I say, no. Not in my mind. And you know what? Resisting that, it goes away. It loses its influence. It loses its hold on my mind. And you just have to be stubborn and refuse to take thoughts that you know are either non-productive or sinful or wrong. Because when you take them, you're going to be thinking about them. And they're going to gain ground in your mind, and then that's how thoughts get into your heart. And I don't want evil thoughts in my heart, evil influences in my heart. My heart is there for one thing, to allow the Lord to put his thoughts, to allow the Lord to write his thoughts in my heart. Isn't that a profound scripture? That God would actually write his thoughts in our heart. I think that's profound. And so habitual thoughts need to be dealt with, and the only way really that we can deal with them is not in our own strength. We'll never win the battle that way. We need to learn how to apply the blood of Jesus and overcome these thoughts through the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Once we get those out, we keep them out. We refuse to think about them. You have the authority in the power of the Holy Spirit to refuse to think about them. You thank God for His blood and His forgiveness that brings deliverance in our life and helps us. Sometimes we have to start over in areas of our mind and thinking that are, and you know, the enemy will come, he will bring thoughts of fear, thoughts of unbelief, thoughts of thoughts of feeling defeated, thoughts of lustful thoughts, evil thoughts towards, and I tried to tell you last week about towards people. You cannot afford to allow evil thoughts in your mind regardless of what people do. You do not want to think evil. You want to think along the lines that you have been given the power of the Holy Spirit to pray for these people, regardless of what they've done to you. They don't need more condemnation. They don't need more evil taking over their mind. They need someone that can contradict it and pray for them for deliverance. That's why with me, I just, there's a time to you that sometimes you have to talk, say things, you know what I mean? But I don't want to just go around magnifying what people are doing or have done. That isn't going to solve any problems whatsoever. You've got to believe that the Holy Spirit is now going to use you to convict them of their sin, and you refuse to participate in criticism and bitterness, and you refuse to participate in unbelief, even though sometimes, I don't understand, but I'm not going to get into unbelief when I clearly know what the Word of God really clearly says. Okay. Life is not a guessing game. When God speaks and we know that it's in the proper context of the Word of God, the guessing is over. It's done. And that's where we rest our heart and mind, our thoughts and our words. Okay. So you've got to identify habitual patterns. And I don't like to think about things with, but I can tell in my own life, and I can tell right away what people are thinking by what they're saying. I don't want to be a judge. But you can't help but hear what they're saying. And sometimes it's unbelief. Sometimes it's fear. Doubt and unbelief, fear. I'd rather love not my life unto the death than deny the reality of my redemption and the Word of God. Okay. So remember, the blood has cleansing power. Receive the power of the blood to cleanse and the grace of God to start new thought patterns that are scriptural and pleasing to God. Okay. So start immediately to diligently renew your mind on lines of organized thought. Okay. When I say lines, I'm talking about putting scriptures together and to meditate on those scriptures. That's organized thought. What does God say? What did God say? And then it's more than just a scripture once in a while. It's renewing your mind on organized thought and thought patterns. Okay. I don't want to have an undisciplined mindset. I don't want to have a mind that's a failure. Okay. Satan is not going to have your mind. We are redeemed from his thoughts. You know, and the world is the things that Satan uses, okay? Communication systems. You don't even know that you're being influenced by the communication systems of the world. You're being programmed to think the wrong kind of thinking. You're being programmed to doubt God. You're being programmed to fear. You know, they bring all this fear. Oh, you gotta have all these. Don't get me going on that, because no, I need to have God. Not the world system. And I could say a lot about the world system, but I won't. But most Christians are completely caught in it and overwhelmed with it. I'd like to just sometime minister a message on that, but it would really be to me, it would hit you between the eyes, and you'd think, well, so don't let me go there. I have one philosophy. I'll die believing the Word of God. Hallelujah. Start immediately to diligently renew your mind on lines of organized thought. Just like I said, lines of organized thought. And then number 9, set boundaries that you refuse to cross. Say, set boundaries that I refuse to cross. You know, you have to draw the line. Nobody's going to do that for you. God has already done it. I refuse to cross this boundary of thought. You know, whether it's some kind of a, we're constantly under attack with sensual thoughts, fearful thoughts, unbelieving thoughts. And either you got to draw the line on that, or you're gonna give in to all that stuff. You know, say, I refuse to fear.
I refuse to fear.
And you can have every opportunity all day long, all different kinds of thoughts that you're fearful of. And put that stuff out. Then number 10, find accountability. I don't know about you, but there's just times I really need more than myself. I need some help. Monitor your progress. Ask for help when you need it, and repent quickly when you fail. But I'm not going to have a thought life that, I want my thought life to glorify God. Okay, you got it?
Yeah.
I want it to glorify God. He knows what I'm thinking. I cannot hide my thoughts from Him. Okay. So you've got to grow in this thing. You've got to learn how to think in God's grace and power. Plan purposely to eliminate completely all negative thinking. Now, I was going to change that, but I would say non-productive thinking or evil thinking. Treat what is lacking. Attack what is lacking. You know, attack, treat where you're falling short of a evil thought life. You know, you'd be surprised how fast the Holy Spirit is there to give you grace and give you power to overcome. You'd be surprised how fast He's there. Be patient. Don't get discouraged. Realize some of these wrong thoughts, thought patterns, really run deep in your heart. Get them out. Root them out. Then number 13, thank God continually for His transformation. Number 14, celebrate progress. I had designed this to actually use scripture under each thought. That I can't believe that I designed that 15 years ago, but still stands today, right? Now, just a couple more thoughts here on scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit instructs you in the mind of Christ. That's what He's all about. He's our helper. He gives us the mind of Christ. He gives us perfect thoughts that are not just temporary, but they're permanent. And once we start to think about all that stuff, then they end up God writing them in our heart. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's where we have a part to play, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have, obviously, a part to play in renewing your mind. God has already given us the thoughts. God has already redeemed our mind. Now we have to acknowledge that and walk in that redemption. Right? Our part is to manage our mind. Now, here's something that before, I just want to look at this here. John 14:26, let's look at that just for a minute. Say, praise the Lord. John 14:26, but the Comforter, and we know that whom the Father will send in my name, He sent us the Comforter. We already have Him in our heart. He shall teach you all things. You can't really teach yourself in that sense of the word. He's got to be there and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Isn't that a powerful scripture? And you know what? God does that all the time. He brings to my remembrance what He has said. John 14, 26. That's the ministry of the Comforter. I'd like to do it. I might do a teaching on that. I think it's a profound. Our part is to manage our mind by renewing our mind. This is a consistent lifestyle that we must live. You cannot afford to be passive. A passive mind is a dangerous mind. It's a mind that will, now, Romans 12, 2. Okay, I think I just read that one on the other page, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then Ephesians 4, 23. Let's just look at a couple of these before we close. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay. You have the mind of Christ, and that is a spiritual mind. Say, I have a spiritual mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this. I don't have it written down, so casting down. Okay, now you know that you are in a warfare. Your mind is under attack, and you need to say no. No, no, I'm not going there. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where does our thought live? Isn't that a powerful scripture? Bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Okay. Do you have an obedient thought life? Powerful. Powerful. But it's your responsibility to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. You know, God's going to help you with your thought life, but you have to participate. You have to walk in that. Let's just go a couple more and we're going to close. The whole psalm, actually, I don't want to get into that right now, but Joshua 1, 8, and 9. And of course, that's an Old Testament scripture, but it says, this book of the law shall not depart. Okay. Out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. See, what's your mind doing? You need to start to put it in a place where it's active in meditating on the Word of God. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, a lot of times I'll wake up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and immediately I start to meditate on Scripture. Okay, that's what I want to think about. That's what you want to think about. That's what you want to walk in. And then Philippians 4. This one I like because it talks about be careful, or the word careful there means don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now, are we, we need to be constantly giving thanks. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a peace that passes all understanding. Keep your mind. Keep it sane. Okay? This is amazing. Now, how many know that peace is perfect? Every fruit of the Spirit is perfect. Love is perfect. God is love. It's perfect. Love, joy, peace, patience. Okay? And then let's go right back again to John 14:26 in closing. Let's all read it out loud. But the Comforter, let's read it. Even though we already have the Comforter, he's been poured out. Let's say it, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, he's already sent him. What is he going to do? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So now we got a blessed memory. The Holy Spirit intervenes in our memory and brings to our remembrance whatsoever Jesus said. I find that absolutely, for me, that's the way I live. He brings his thoughts into my memory. Amen? Amen. What a blessing. Let's stand up.